Off the ball
on News Talk.
In association with the Air Sport app, allowing you to cast your favourite sporting action from your tablet or mobile phone straight to your TV.
Now, GAA on News Talk is with Bord Gáis Energy, official sponsor of the GAA Hurling Under 21 Championship. Keep up to date and follow hashtag Hurling to the Core. A couple of weeks ago, Ackle's favourite son, no less, that's Kevin Kilbane, sat down with Cross Malina man Stephen Rochford in Ballinrobe, and you'll be seeing the videos of the interview on Off the Ball's YouTube and Facebook pages over the next few days. We'll jump in right at the very start. Kev put it to Stephen Rochford that this has been something of a roller coaster season for Mayo.
I think, roller coaster. I think I've been, said to a couple of people that this has been the cheapest cardiology test on Mayo supporters this summer. Then a couple of the private clinics would offer
that
them,
as well, yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So, look, it has, we put a lot of effort into the Galway game. And that day in Salt Hill didn't go our way for one reason or another. Some of it our own doing, or a number of it our own doing. But from then, we've had to deal with sort of the challenges of sort of mediocre performances within games and some good performances, but coming in spurts, extra times, the physicality the toll that it has taken on us physically. But all of that has sort of is built up to August has been, a more impressive and more satisfying month. And certainly getting into Croke Park has whetted the appetite for the guys. And, maybe it's an easy thing to say now, but, this group of players have played their best football in Croke Park. So, maybe there's something in that as well.
Has there been anything across the season that's been something that's key that you've thought, right, pennies drop now, something will start now to happen for us?
Well, look, I think we took maybe a bit of criticism from the Cork game, but I think in the majority of that, that first 50-55 minutes, thought we did a lot of good things, and we put ourselves 6-7 points up, but just our concentration dropped for a minute, and we were punished by Cork, and they gained the momentum, and it was a real battle from there. But there was a lot to be taken for that, and maybe sometimes as a coach you look to see the positives while looking to address the negatives or the things that you need to still work on. Got back into Croke Park, didn't perform at the level again that we wanted against Roscommon, but we after suffering the first 50 minutes, we went 7 points down. We really battled hard and got ourselves back into a really good position. But really from then, we started to look to play on the front foot, and we haven't started, sort of looking at scoreboards or wondering about what the next phase of play will be. It's just really been about the next ball and, staying very much within the game. And, thankfully that has paid some riches to us so far.
Yeah, I want to come back to the games at Croke Park, the Roscommon and the Kerry games in a sec, but something that's been used, or maybe many have thought of it as a negative thing, is the amount of games that you've played across the season, and people are thinking that the team might be tired going into some of those bigger games, and the team might be tired coming to this stage of the season. How have you assessed that yourself personally across the season?
Look, the reality is that in the modern footballer, they're trained and they're conditioned so well to be able to deal with, I suppose the context is that, look, we didn't want to go the back door, we wanted to be back in Croke Park as Connacht champions, but that wasn't, that's not what we laid out for ourselves after the Galway game. So we've had to adapt, and we've had to be able to, look at what our training loads were, and, there's a lot of science in relation to assisting how you get the team prepared, how you're managing their load, how you're looking at injuries. So, all members of the backroom team, the coaches, the medical team, the S&C guys have been, collaborating in relation to how they make sure that the team are in a position to physically perform. And, you know this better than anybody that, players like games.
Yeah.
You know, there's absolutely no doubt in that. Typically on a training week, we'd have 3 training sessions. So that has just been pulled back to maybe 1 session that has been a little bit, maybe tactical with maybe moving from a Derry game going into Clare, what sort of challenges that might bring. And then it's just allowing them the rest and space to be able to get themselves mentally and physically up for the game. So it has been a challenge simply from the point of view of just keeping an eye on it.
Yeah.
But it hasn't certainly been a challenge physically, and the games have definitely brought on fitness as well. Mm. The challenge probably in that has been that, you know, 20, 22 guys are getting it, and you want to keep the whole squad at that fitness level. So, you know, we've had to sort of work around that as well.
Yeah, go back then, actually, to the game itself. Go back certainly to the two Roscommon games at Croke Park. Of course, whatever happened in certainly the early stages of the Roscommon game, but particularly in the replay, it was the first time across the season that I'd seen the whole team performing at once. I'd felt as though throughout it had been not so much one or two individuals, but it'd been individual performances that had probably got you the results throughout. And then all of a sudden, this Roscommon performance came, and it seemed to, in many people's eyes, come out of nowhere. But you'd probably seen bits and bobs across the season where you'd seen that sort of performance coming. But that was the first time it was notable to me, taking that into the two Kerry games, where everyone was on it at that particular day and performing as that team of the collective unit.
Yeah, no, I think that's a very fair comment. I suppose what I would probably say is that not alone did we have whatever 15 were on the field at that time, but we played throughout the whole, you know, from the first throw-in right to that final whistle. We were eager to get on the next ball, the next tackle, the next support play, the next score. And that was very, very pleasing, because as you pointed out, we would have seen parts of that, and, you know, we would see us playing well for 7 or 8 minutes, and then we'd lax, and then might come again with another 10 minutes. And yeah, and maybe some of that as well was being driven by individual performances. But within training, we were seeing, you know, I remember, you know, we had one session there coming into the Clare game, and the guys were really firing on all cylinders, and it was, you know, there was a real cut to the session. And I suppose, you know, players are really smart guys as well. They can see that. Mm. And I suppose that led to a little bit of frustration as well, why we weren't getting that in our games. And
is that a moment as well, a bit of frustration for you? Because it's almost like they're peaking on the training ground and not necessarily been able to show that when they're getting out into the main stage.
Yeah, well, like, you know, I think, you know, satisfaction for any coach or manager is to see things on the training field being replicated within the game. And we were doing a lot of good things in training, and we were doing some good things within some of the games. We just weren't being consistent. And, you know, when we looked back on the tape from the Roscommon game for the drawing game, there was, you know, we had one training session to sort of look at things, because again, we had, you know, two extra times in the month of July along with the three games, so we had to be very conscious around what sort of physical exertions we could do in the week of that game. And, you know, there was just a real tightening probably of you know, this is within our control, and, you know, here's a little thing that we can sort of tighten up on, you know, let's not turn over the ball a little bit or a little bit less, and just a couple of those things, because, you know, we moved the ball well, but we had been moving the ball well in other games. We just weren't doing it enough or consistently enough.
Yeah, and then probably maybe take it forward then to the Kerry game. There was a number of, well, a bit of criticism that you received probably after the first game. Certain things written about you that, I mean, I think it's probably a lot of maybe gone on record since then. It was incredibly harsh, some of the criticism that you received from a personal point of view, specifically to the Lions led by Donkeys. Mm. So that article that was written, and well, first of all, how did you feel when that was written about you? What was your initial thought? I think you said in the aftermath that you were at a function and you didn't really take it on board, but if you hear it, it's the family that hears it, and these are the things, I suppose, that maybe get to people around it.
Yeah, well, you know, my sister-in-law got married on the day before the Kerry game, so I wasn't at that, so I had to try and get home from Dublin as quickly as possible on that Sunday evening, and start the planning for the replay, and then, you know, make my way out to meet some of the family on that Sunday night. So I was, in some ways, I was a little bit in my own bubble around, you know, what had happened, you know, in the game. But I got a call to say, look, this is out there. And I suppose in a moment you're sort of a bit like, okay, all right. But there was just so much going on.
Yeah.
You know, and we just, you know, my own thing here was that, look, we still have a game to play. We have, it was in 5 days from then. Mm. And, you know, the quicker we got on with but what was in front of us, and that was to sort of learn from what we had seen in the drawing game. You know, obviously the win or lose on that Sunday, the main thing I was going to get asked about was playing Aidan O'Shea at fullback.
So what was in your thought process of playing that? It was mentioned, I think we had David Brady and with us who'd mentioned it in the week, and
genius.
Yeah, exactly. He's the man, isn't he? We know that. But so what was in your thinking? Oh, of course, it was in your thinking. But what were you thinking actually in telling Aidan, and how did Aidan respond to that himself from a professional point of view, or from his, I suppose, the team man that he suppose is.
Yeah, and that's the first thing. In many ways, he was willing to sacrifice his own game, which would be typically the other end of the field. But I suppose the context was that we beat Roscommon on a Monday, and in 13 days' time we're going to take on the form team in the country on the basis that they've beaten Dublin in the National League. They'd really been very impressive through the Munster Championship and against Galway.
Yeah.
So, you know, we were limited with how many pitch sessions we were going to do. Our focus wasn't going to be solely on Kieran Donaghy. You had to look at the Paul Ganeys and the James O'Donoghues and the Paul Murphys and the David Mourns. Yeah. You know, so we had to give that its due attention, but not give it over. And when we looked at what were the options and what we were, what we felt was most suitable, it was Aidan. And of course, we knew we were going to lose something further out the field, but I suppose when you look to sort of, if you put it like in the pros and the cons, we felt that there was more to be gained by taking Aidan to the edge of the square, and sort of going man to man with Kieran Donaghy, because you know we had seen the damage he had done. Like people, you know, he scored the goal against Galway just, you know, 2 weeks previously from a high ball into the square. Mayo had been at the end of some of those Route 1 balls in the past. And, look, we just felt that it was important to address it. But, look, that it got the attention it got. It's outside our control, to be honest, Kevin. So, you know, I didn't pay an awful lot of attention to it. As long as the players weren't getting distracted by the media content of it, I didn't lose any sleep about it.
Did you feel any satisfaction after the replay then? From a personal perspective?
Look, people say justification or that. Really, it wasn't. It genuinely isn't there, because the clap in your back is only, you know, 6 inches from the kick. And we have a game coming up now in 10 days' time. So, you know, it's a fickle. Mm. It's a fickle sort of way. It's sort of the congratulatory sort of aspect to it. We won a game, we're in an All-Ireland final, and that when we started out with, you know, looking at Aidan maybe going into that role, that was what it was about. It was about winning a game, you know. It wasn't about trying to be smart and, you know, trying to change football, you know. It was about winning a game, and, you know, we'll be as good as our next game.
Now, you have made some big calls though as the manager, so I suppose it's you live and die by them. But in relation to the replay last year, then as well, you left you brought Rob Henley in for the replay and leaving David Clark out. So do you think, I suppose not so much as your role as coach to make these big calls, but how do you actually feel then when you're making these big calls? Do you have that in the back of your mind that this is a decision that could come back to haunt me, or could be something that's going to be used as a stick to beat me with?
Well, you're aware of that,
yeah.
You know, but, you know, I'm not driven by that emotional side of it. You know, I think I said this with Nathan, actually, after the game, I spoke about, is that, you know, my role or who I need to sort of be answerable to is myself, the management team, and the players. And any of our decisions that we make, I suppose, from a selection point of view or tactical, you know, the players have bought into it. We wouldn't be in an All-Ireland final 2 years in a row if the players weren't supportive of what we're trying to do. They understand that there's no agendas. They understand that, you know, there's reasoning behind it. You know, it's not a case of, you know, we'll rock up on the Friday night before the Kerry game and say, hey lads, we've got an idea. Yeah. We're going to throw in Aidan. You know, there was consideration made to it. There was items we just looked at. And, you know, I think even, you know, you look at the performance even from the drawing game to the replay. Aidan did really well in the replay game. So, you know, a smart footballer going into that situation was able to learn again within 6 days how to do things better. And of course, other players around the field support that as well, as in you didn't cough up as much possession, so there wasn't as much pressure on. But that was the way it was going into the drawing game anyway. So everybody has a role to play in it. People look at, you know, some player being played here or something in there, but there's a lot more happening in the wheel than just one part.
Is there anyone that you've looked to? You're still in the early days of your coaching career, essentially, really. Yeah, I probably don't feel it, I suppose, now with what's happened over the last couple of years. But is there anyone that you've actually looked up to and maybe taken advice from before you've made any of these big calls, or is it just something that you've just learnt as you've gone along?
I suppose we wouldn't be going outside of our own management group in relation to seeking advice and that, but, you know, as regards managers that and coaches that you'd respect, I mean, look, I'm a Man United fan, so the likes of Alex Ferguson, Brian Cody has done over the last two decades, what Joe Smith has done with Leinster in Ireland, they're coaches or managers that stand out as regards the respect and their ability to be able to, you know, make big calls and make decisions that they know that they live and die by them as well. And, you know, that's okay with me. That's, you know, you get into that job, you sort of have to respect that.
Yeah. So in relation then to the Dublin game, can we expect any other big calls coming from that game? We're just keeping everything on the even keel at the moment,
you fit yourself?
I don't know. Do a job at corner forward for you, maybe. I don't know.
Well, look, I do think that the tactical element of it sort of gets a little bit maybe too spoken about, and maybe it's, you know, it allows Phil Airwaves or Column Inches. But it'll be, you know, you don't like it to be like this, but, you know, you go back, you're probably looking at games being decided more on a mistake, or on a moment of
things
of inspiration.
You can't legislate for, so, as well. That's
you
it,
can.
Yeah.
And the two teams know each other well. You know, they've had a lot of tight games over the years, so I don't expect it to be there'll be much in it, and, you know, we're just hopeful that we can come out the right side of it this time.
I know I'm probably going to have to put this point to you, but you know what it's like being a male supporter. You know what it's like, this thing that's been hanging over them, the curse and all that sort of thing that's gone with it. My dad was born in 1951, so I can blame my dad for all this. My dad was born in 1951. He passed away actually 18 months ago now, as it was. And he lived his whole life without seeing Mayo win an All-Ireland, and that was the one thing that he wanted out of everything. So my dad would be one story in a number of stories you would have heard similar to that. So how do you feel when you're walking around and you're hearing these constant stories and this is going to be our year and the pressure that's on you and the team? And how do you feel when you're hearing all these stories around the team and what it means, I suppose, to be that Mayo fan?
Yeah, well, I suppose, Kevin, you know, since about 1996, you know, Mayo have been in, over the last, 20 years, they've been in maybe 8 finals. So, you know, the novelty in getting to finals is sort of, it's gone. And I feel that, you know, myself and the players were experienced enough now to be able to sort of withdraw ourselves from it.
Yeah.
Honestly, I haven't had as many of those stories. We're aware of them, you know, from being as a supporter yourself, maybe back in 2012 and 13, you'd be out and you'd be aware of those stories. You know, just sort of, you look to remove yourself. That's part of your own build-up and your own prep, is to sort of not be taken over by the emotion of it. And, you know, you look at Galway last week in the hurling. You know, they went about in what could have become a very... They could have got wrapped up in the whole emotions of it beforehand, and they had a lot of their own stories very close to the camp, be it in Tony Keady or the Niall Donoghue. But they went about and they understood that maybe the best way of being able to, I suppose, recognise those people is delivering that performance and not getting wrapped in the emotion during or pre-game, and let it flow for what it is then afterwards. And be the right side of the result to allow that happen.
It's interesting you bring the Galway up. I saw Micheál Donoghue last week. I saw him after the game, and I saw the way he stepped back, carried himself with such dignity after winning All Ireland. When again he would have heard these sort of personal stories, and you can imagine the sort of things that would have been going around his head at that particular time. Do you ever bring yourself to think about what it would be like and what you would actually say and do if and when Mayo won that All-Ireland?
No. Look, I think, you know, I think that'll take care of itself. Yeah. I think, you know, as a Mayo person, Mayo supporter, you know, to in the past, you can sort of have those sort of moments where you think, God above, the county will go wild. But, you know, there's just too much on, you know.
Do you just detach yourself from it then? You've got
totally.
To, you have to,
yeah. Yeah, yeah. Look, I mean, you just, there's just a bundle of work to be done and sort of ensure that, you know, all the I's are dotted and the T's are crossed, yeah, in relation to your preparation. And, you know, there hasn't been that much downtime to be able to sort of allow yourself to get distracted or take yourself away to those moments. And, you know, quietly sure that, you know, if we end up the right side of a full-time whistle, you know, there'll be, you won't need to have it pre-planned. It'll just take care of itself.
I spoke to you briefly about it before. I wanted to put something to you here as well. And again, I take it, it's a bit tongue-in-cheek when I ask it to you, but the constant message that I've heard and the constant theme over the last few years is this Dublin side are the greatest ever, or they're certainly going to be considered up there with the greatest ever sides. Now, if I've looked at the Mayo results against Dublin over the last, what, 5 or 6 years or whatever it's been, and the replays and the, you know, kick of a point between the sides and points between them, does this make Mayo the second best team ever then?
Well, that'll be for others to decide.
No, I take it. Yeah. I understand that it's. You know,
I know. Look, I think that what Dublin have achieved in the modern game, you know, it's serious. You know, yeah, in fairness to them, their consistency through National League, Leinster, four of the last five All-Irelands, you know, now looking for three in a row. That's more than impressive.
Yeah.
But like they're a team of 15 men, and obviously they've got a super bench and a full squad. But in that, like, you know, sport can be, you know, you just don't know on the day. And, you know, in that, we know that we've challenged really well against them in the last two seasons, but we haven't got across the line, you know. Yeah. You know, and we're not sort of happy with being nearly men. Yeah. We want 2017 to be different, but we know that that's going to take an unbelievable performance, and that's all that we can look to control is sort of to get up there, play as well as we can, and see where it takes us.
Now, just in relation, maybe in relation, come back to Dublin a second, but in relation to that as well, I saw the team after the Kerry replay, and there was almost, it wasn't overly celebrated, it was the hugs, it was obviously the congratulation, pats on the back for each other, but it was almost, right, we're off the pitch now, job done, we move on to the next game. Was that the feeling that was in the dressing room after the game with that? It was almost, if you, now we have the serious job to do after getting through that Kerry game.
Well, no, look, Kerry was a serious job, and so was Roscommon, and, you know, they're all serious jobs on those days, but it was just another step in the ladder. And look, you know, the players aren't immune to knowing that, you know, we want some silverware, and we haven't had that in the last two seasons. So, you know, there's a big game coming up, and, you know, it's only coming out the right side of that result that they'll rest easy.
Yeah, and that's maybe the case throughout the side within the management team as well. It's rest easy, I suppose. Well, do you think you can rest easy then, I suppose, as well, if and when you win in a few weeks' time up at Croke Park, do you think that will be justification for everything that you've done over the last few years?
Oh, I think that's probably something that you'd probably reflect back on and sort of get to that point. But I don't think it's probably as simple as that either. You know, days you win, you've made decisions that you probably say, actually, that didn't work out.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's about being able to be that honest. You don't need to be that honest necessarily with the media, but with yourself and with management and the squad. The same on days that you lose, you know. It's not necessarily, you know, it can come down to an error, it can come down to a refereeing decision, it can come down to a moment of brilliance. And in the tight margins that we've had against Dublin, in some of those cases, it's been all of those points, it's been a moment of you know, a serious score. Like, I mean, you, Conor Costa coming off the bench last year for Dublin scores 3 points, you know, off the bench. Yeah. Like, that's a serious contribution. And, you know, it just on some days you'll need a bit of luck, and you know that's something that we, you know, we'll be looking to hopefully ride a bit with that in on Sunday week.
You just mentioned the media, just maybe a couple of points before we finish, I suppose. In the aftermath of when you've maybe drawn games or even results haven't quite gone your way as well, and you have to come out and you have to face that media straight away, how much thinking time do you actually have yourself to maybe reflect, and how much time do you have maybe just to think about what you're actually going to say? Is there a message that you think about when you're going in, or is it you just maybe reactive to what's happened within that actual press conference, or maybe individual questions?
Well, look, you know, I suppose in some games, each game can be different because, like, there can be a moment within the game that people want to latch on to. It can be a referee indecision, it could be a sending off, it can be, you know, somebody being left out of the team. Yeah. So, like, from game to game, it can take a different narrative. The performance then can be, you know, so, you know, our performance maybe against a Derry, you know, versus, or sorry, take the two Roscommon games, you know, or the questions you're being asked sort of in the drawing game versus the questions you're being asked when you play well and you win the replay. So, you know, you can't be prescriptive, and you got to be respectful to the media. You know, they've got a job to do, and you understand that in many ways, you know, they help promote the game, and you know, there's a bit of give and take in that. But you know, it is what it is. It's just part of the game now.
That's it. Just one maybe last point then. Will we see Mayo in the black and red in the final then, will we?
That'll have to be a question for the county board.
Right.
Look, I mean, you know, as somebody says, we and you're decking out well.
It's a great jersey.
You know, we're unbeaten in it, so I don't know if that's something to hang our hat on. But look, I think the green and red will be the one that will be on show for the All-Ireland.
Good man. Thanks very much. Stephen,
okay,
thanks
Gavin.
Very much for your time.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Off the ball. On News Talk. In association with the Air Sport app, allowing you to cast your favourite sporting action from your tablet or mobile phone straight to your TV.